1460 WVOX. Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets personal. Here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand, sponsored exclusively today by the Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership. Folks, for those of you joining us for the first time, this show is about transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. This is a call-in show, and it's your show where we want to hear from you. So if you're going through a transition, and if you have any ideas concerning some of the items that we're going to speak about today, and boy, do we have some, very interesting ones. Give us a call at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, and let's talk about your brand or somebody else's brand. And you can also email us, and we're back online. Yes, we're back at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. Or if you are so inclined to give us a call at 914-636-0110, we'd love to hear from you. And I'm going to talk today about Tony Bennett and his brand, and what his brand can teach us. And this past week, I saw an interview on TV about Tony Bennett. And he's the singer, if you don't know Tony Bennett, he's the singer that Sinatra once called the singer's singer. Talk about a brand and brand acceptance. Wow, that's a brand blessing by a major celebrity. That you can't get anything better than that, huh? Well, this interview reminded me of seeing this great artist in Las Vegas in the early 80s when he performed so eloquently at a not-so-packed room in Las Vegas, but delivered on Sinatra's mantra concerning his brand. He was really delightful. The interview also reminded me of the ups and downs in his career and how he was not so popular in the early 80s when I saw him in Sin City. Fact was that he was a legend in my mind since his music was played in our home religiously and my parents were real appreciators of Tony and his music. I simply had to see him when I was in Las Vegas, even though his star was not as stellar as it once was in the early 50s and 60s. But another thought crossed my mind when watching this interview, and that is how much trouble his brand was in at that time concerning his image in the marketplace. You know, I was working in state government, working for a local assemblyman, and I had a great many friends working in various executive state positions across the state. And at that time, Tony's son, a marketing genius as far as I'm concerned, approached a well-known politician at the time who was running for statewide office and mentioned that Tony, his father, would love to do a fundraising benefit. And all the pal had to do was to provide some dates, and Tony, his dad, would be there. A dear friend who was working for the PAL asked me what I should do since he was in charge of making the arrangements. I told him that this would be a great opportunity for the PAL, and that he should convince the PAL that this was an exciting possibility, and that I had seen Tony Bennett in Las Vegas, and that he would deliver. For me, it was a no-brainer. How could this guy, how could this guy running for office say no, I told my friend. Just tell him that this was simply too good to pass up. Well, the next day, my friend called me to tell me that his boss wanted no part and simply let the Bennett people know that they were not interested. So I said, what are you kidding? Why? He said, because Tony Bennett is a has-been, and they didn't want to be associated with a person whose time has passed. It would be bad for their image. Well, fast forward a few years later, Tony's son, this marketing genius as I believe he is, convinced some of the brass at MTV to allow Tony to do a concert on MTV. Yes, MTV. I want my MTV. That MTV. And they called the show on MTV Tony Bennett Unplugged. Well, the concert was an unprecedented success. Tony Bennett found a new target market. His brand was on the mend, and the rest is history. Today at 84, Tony Bennett is rolling out his new CD called Duets with the hippest singers of our time. By the way, what the MemTV experience did for the Tony Bennett brand was to make him cool, an important factor with this demographic. With this demographic, and to think he didn't even have to change his brand or style. He just had to show up. Now, that's what I call branding. Well, getting back to this Duets CD, even Amy Winehouse, God rest her soul, who we discussed a few weeks ago, recorded with Tony on the CD, and it is reported that she was so excited about working with him on this project that at first she couldn't even perform until Tony kind of calmed her down. Talk about a wonderful guy. And Tony, in the interview, confesses how sorry he was that he was not able to do more for Amy since he was a drug user as well, until a friend informed him that drugs were, quote, a talent destroyer. And Tony relates in this interview, from that moment on, when he heard his friend utter that phrase, it was no more drugs because he loved life, he being Tony, loved life and creating his music. And that Tony Bennett's regret is that he hadn't emphasized his drug use enough and the negatives to Amy before she passed. Talk about a brand. And for me, not only do I love his music, he's just a hero for me because he publicly admitted his limitations, which I'm sure all his genius handlers say, I shouldn't say that. It's wrong. Don't only emphasize the positive, never the negative. But what he was trying to do is say that he could have helped, and maybe he could help those people who are still struggling with this disease. And for that, I have nothing but admiration to this great brand. But that's all great, what I just said. It's entertaining and it's wonderful. But the question here, because on Brand Talk, we talk about brands, is what can we learn from Tony Bennett and the many other celebrities like, yes, Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, and Neil Sedaka, to name just a few who had setbacks in their brand life cycle. What is it that we can learn? Well, first, it's important to know that everyone in life goes through cycles, all right? And this is especially what's great about celebrity brands, because they're just a personality away from us, all right? So they are personal brands that have taken their personal brands and made them a personality. And eventually that's what we want to do with our personal brands. And I'll talk about that a little bit more either on today's show or on another show, the importance of personality brands. Maybe I'll dedicate a whole show to that. So let me not forget this other important point. And that is, you have to know your brand and not become something that you're not. And that Tony uses his business suit instead of a tuxedo, like every entertainer in there who are north of 60 years old, probably more north of 70 years old, would classically do. So he amended his dress somewhat to accommodate the changing times, but his style and appreciation of the classics and the American songbook was and is his brand, and he doesn't forget it. I mean, this duets album where he could you imagine Tony Bennett singing with Lady Gaga? Buble is much more in his genre, but to have an artist like Lady Gaga, who I think is a marketing genius, I talk about that all the time, either in my blogs or on Fox Radio or Fox News, I just think she's a wonderful brand. But the idea of this person at one point, who was defined by many as being a has-been, now has the youngest and hippest group of people who want to be part of his brand. That is really, really something to think about. Well, so if you have an opinion on Tony Bennett, this interview that I mentioned, or you feel that your brand is dated and needs some rebranding, or perhaps you're right out of college trying to find your brand, maybe you want to give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or give us a email at doc@brandtalkradio.com. And now what I like to do is take a word from our sponsor, the Whitmore Group, where a relationship becomes a partnership.
Folks, insurance is something that we usually don't like to talk about. But at the Whitmore Group, they know how. Whether it's for your business or your home, the Whitmore Group is the place to go. That's where I go for my insurance needs, and I never doubt that they're looking out for me. Simply put, with James Metzger at the helm and his excellent team, your insurance needs are always taken care of. Whether it's commercial property and casualty, personal or health insurance, estate planning, or financial services, the Whitmore Group is where a relationship is a partnership. 516-746-4141 is the number to call, 516-746-4141, or on the web at whitmoregroup.com. And tell them Dr. Tantillo sent you.
Okay, we're back. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and you're listening to Brand Talk Radio on WVOX AM Radio 1460 on your dial. And if you have a question concerning Tony Bennett, and why not give us a call at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, or doc@brandtalkradio.com, and we have a caller on the line. What's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
My name's Jim Bouchard, and you helped me create this brand.
Oh, Jim, how you doing there, buddy?
Dr. Tantillo, as usual, this is brilliant.
You know how Alex
and I feel about Tony Bennett.
I did not know this.
Oh, amazing, amazing. And you know, one of the things that impresses me, and I was going to call today anyway because I had a question for you, and
sure.
You're tying it all nicely together.
Great.
So many times, you know, those of us who want to express ourselves artistically, we have a lot of different interests, And it's sometimes difficult to make sure that the brand is unified, even though we're exploring different manners of expression. And I think Tony Bennett does that just beautifully through his music, through his painting, and his activism and other things that he does. But he's never lost, and certainly under the guidance of his son, he's really never lost that brand unity, has he? And how do you keep that all together?
Number one, you have to be true to yourself and not get tangled with other people's, as we like to say in New York, mishigash. Excuse my apologies to my Jewish friends if I messed up that Yiddish. But you have to be true to your brand, and you can't have what I like to call the geniuses messing you up. So that and what that really means is that you should never react. You should be proactive. And that means thinking before doing. And knee-jerk reactions, Jim, are never the way to go. And I think we've discussed, you and I have discussed that enough, where you really have to put together a team that gets you and tries. You know, we've had discussions, you and me, where we have... you know, you have made some suggestions on my brand, and I basically said, that's maybe you, Jim, but it's not me.
Right.
And you have to take that bold step where when people are giving me advice as much, and I keep beating this dead horse all the time about when I first went on to Fox, people told me that I shouldn't wear a hat, I shouldn't wear a bow tie, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. Bop, bop,
right.
Bop, bop, bop. And you become you know, I mean, even today, I got to tell you, Jim, a very dear friend of mine said to me just the other day, if I were you, I'd take off the hat, shave your head, and get a tan and go out on the radio. And I said to him, if I do that, I'm going to be Jim Bouchard. I am not going to be John Tantillo. And it's that kind of... Go ahead. Now, Jim, if you start using a hat, I'm going to be very, very upset at you when you go on.
Because, sure, right? But I do wear hats, you know that.
I know, I do know that.
Yeah.
But you don't wear it on air. See, right. I wear... now, here, you know, here's something that just yesterday... I was wearing one of my outfits, I guess people would say, and a friend of mine said, "Do you always dress like this?" I said, "Well, the style, yes, but the particulars, no, because I didn't have my Borsellino olive green hat, I didn't have my signature polka dot tie, and I didn't have my bold striped shirt. I had something a little different going on. The point is, yes, I dress formally, but when I am reinforcing the John Tantillo, Dr. John Tantillo, John Tantillo marketing Dr. brand, that's polka dots, that's the green olive Borsellino and the striped shirt and the
right.
bow tie. That's what that's about. But there is another question that you might have, that you said. Did I hit both of them there, Jim?
No, I think so. I think it's just important for people to understand that, you know, with that type of unified presence, then you're saying you can explore different avenues, different expressions, but you want to make sure that people understand that all those expressions are coming from you and coming from your brand, right?
You've got to really, you know, I might have said this once before, but I guess it's the teacher in me. I like to reinforce the points I want to make. At one point in my life, I wanted to be white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, okay? I wanted to talk very slowly, and I just wanted to eat watercress sandwiches, and I just wanted to, be something that I wasn't, until I woke up one day and said, this is just not you. But you have to go through that. So I wouldn't be tough with those of us that want to experiment. There's nothing wrong with it being experimenting with different brand characteristics. But just as
right.
long as you come back, and that's the secret.
Excellent.
So, Jim, thanks for calling. Always great to hear from you.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Okay, bud. Bye-bye. So what I like to do now, and that's Jim Bouchard, Think Like a Black Belt, a great brand. We've worked together on Fox's Strategy Room, or what they call now Fox Live. And I worked on, I've been a guest on his radio show, and he's just, and I know his wife, Alex Armstrong, she's great, great voiceover. In my next life, I'm going to have a voice as professional as hers, not as nasally that I have, but really a wonderful brand and someone you can learn something a great deal from. But anyway, I like to get into winner and loser of the week. And folks, each week I choose two brands that I believe have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals. And so I like to talk about that. And the important thing here is that these takeaways that I give you are going to hopefully help you in your life. And the winner this week is Carol Bartz. And if you don't know who Carol Bartz is, she was the CEO who was recently fired by Yahoo. And most people would say, well, why is she a winner? I mean, she's a loser. Well, that's if you use the traditional PR 101 approach to public relations, that is, PR 101 approach, and how very wrong they are. And I'll tell you this. I've been screaming about this for the last few weeks, maybe even a few months, and I'm just not a fan of what the definition of what public relations is about, where you want to satisfy the most number of people. I much rather call it targeted relations, because my point is, why worry about the whole world and what they think when only you're worried about what your demographic or your target market thinks and the opinion that they feel about your brand? And if there's anything that I can communicate to you, is worry about your target market and don't worry about the other people that will never be your target market. So let's look what happened with this gal, Carol Bartz, who's my kind of person. Well, she was at the helm of Yahoo for a little over 2 years, and the company had been in decline before she arrived. And it was 3 years ago that Microsoft made a bid for the company that was rejected by the board because they believed it significantly undervalued the company. The bid was for $44.6 billion. You ready for this, folks? Today, the company is worth half that. So anyway, Bartz presided over the decline, but she had been brought in to help turn around the company that was already declining and, moreover, facing the kind of major market changes that in the tech world often prove irreversible. But the part we care about is her firing and how Bartz responded. You know, executives are fired all the time, but the unpleasant reality is covered up by euphemisms that I really enjoy that suggest that the executive simply can't wait to have more time to focus on new and exciting opportunities, or the best one, to spend more quality time with his family, with his family or her family. Well, apparently, Bartz didn't get that memo and would have none of that, and publicized her firing and the way it was done. Bartz already had a reputation for salty language and calling it like she sees it, but she was unceremoniously dismissed in a phone call from the chairman. She really hit back. She called Yahoo's board doofuses, and in a move that must make the public relations folks cringe, said they had effed me all over. Again, PR 101 advocates smooth exits for all parties during such corporate divorces. The thinking goes that if the it is professional for the CEO to pretend that he or she still cares about the company, that he or she is leaving, and the best way to do this is to act as if everything is amiable among all top management. By these rules, bots failed. But these rules really don't get what's going on at Yahoo or its relationship with bots. Bots was always a company outsider, and it makes little sense for either bots or Yahoo to pretend as if their interest and the company's interest were or should remain in the same kind of perfect alignment. Bottom line, Yahoo is a company with thousands of employees that is in the fight for its life. Bots is a fighter, and she brought it to help Yahoo fight. Her brand is not corporate shrinking violet, and the story now looks like this, that Bots wanted to fight for the company, but the board did not. I love it. In her remarks, she didn't scorn Yahoo. She affirmed the support for the employees of Yahoo, but struck out at the management that she seems to believe is hurting the company. In fact, the manner of her firing was more evidence for Bots of bad management for the board. Fact is, Bots accomplished two things by being bold and uncensored. She has affirmed her own brand. Sure, she was fired, but she is clearly a powerhouse, and my guess is somebody will be calling her and hire her in not too much time. And so after the break, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Saab, our loser. So back in a minute.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Lucera.
We've got to kick off our bedroom slippers and put on our marching shoes. We got to get it to work.
President Obama taking his jobs plan on the road for a second day.
It cuts taxes for small businesses that hire new employees. It cuts taxes for small businesses that raise the salaries of their current employees.
The $450 billion plan now before Congress, but Republicans worried it costs too much. A federal report on last year's Gulf oil spill lays most of the blame on BP.
But other companies also share some of the blame, like rig owner Transocean, along with faulty equipment. The report citing key decision missteps, including the failure to investigate anomalies detected during critical tests that possibly led to the explosion.
Fox Radio's Jeff Manasso. The report also finding BP didn't communicate its decisions to Transocean, the owner of the rig. Fox News, we report, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County in the vicinity for this Wednesday afternoon. Skies remain partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range into the lower 80s. Fair skies tonight, slight chance of an isolated thunderstorm overnight, lows falling back into the middle 60s. Mostly cloudy, some thunderstorms possible Thursday. Thursday's highs will range into the lower 70s. Friday's weather mostly sunny, much cooler, highs middle 60s. Mostly sunny, upper 60s on Saturday. Plenty of sunshine near 70 for Sunday. I'm Steve Pelletieri, Jr., reporting for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
82 and sunny.
Amplify your voice.
Easy to work. Press talk button.
AM 1460, WVOX and WVIP HD2, New Rochelle.
1460 WVOX.
Oh, we're back here. You're listening to Brand Talk Radio. I should say Brand Talk on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to listen to you so that if you are out of work, is your career in a limbo? Are you struggling over the next steps? Why not give us a call here on Brand Talk, where branding gets personal, the only show on radio where this is done. 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, or doc@brandtalkradio.com, that's doc@brandtalkradio.com. And I gave away the loser, folks. We're following up on our brand winner and loser, and I didn't get a great call by Jim Burchard preempted for a few minutes, our winner and loser, but we are always here to listen to our callers, and we'd like to hear from you, 914-636-0110, if you like to share any Tony Bennett stories. And I have a few stories, not of Tony Bennett, some other stories that I hope to get into in today's show. But let's get to the task at hand and talk about Saab. And it looks like Saab, the Swedish luxury car brand, might become history. A court in Sweden had denied it a lifeline. It was trying to voluntarily reorganize. The problems, I believe, with this brand date back to the relationship with GM. You might even remember a fairly recent TV ad that made the connection between Saab and jet engine technology. The ad didn't do too much to help the withering brand, and it's no surprise why. Apparently, a GM executive, when asked what the Saab/jet engine campaign was supposed to be telling Saab's target market and potential buyers, he shrugged and said, "I don't know." Wow. Talk about forgetting the importance of knowing your brand before you lift a finger to promote it. Bottom line, companies fall apart long after their brands do. But this collapse is sad to watch because, after all, Saab is a name that people recognize. It might be that China will rescue Saab with a buyout, but even if it does, the Saab people must remember that it was in the first place that made their cars so sought after in the past. And that's what it is. Get back to your brand basics. Huh? Brands are more than names, and whoever tries to revitalize Saab must find out what it is about the car that made that name so strong. One place to start might be to do some market research that I always like to tell my clients, and I like to tell anyone seeking marketing advice. Do research. So an executive connected to his brand will never have to say, "I don't know."
Well, I did not know that.
But anyway, when it comes to why Saab buyers are Saab buyers, that's what this research and all research has to find out. And you know what I always say? It's always easier when you keep marketing and branding in mind. And my takeaway here, folks, is that you use the essential features of your brand to determine what rule book applies to you and your company. And if you'd like to give us a call, once again, 914-636-0110. And there we have it. Well, I have, I don't know if you saw the Jackie Kennedy interview last night. I love Jackie Kennedy, and I have to say, Diane Sawyer is such a class act, and I remember meeting her a few months, and she was the most charming person. And I'm just, you know, I was just up there for an interview, and she, you know, she didn't know me from Adam, and she was just so kind and so charming. But anyway, she did this great interview with Carolyn Kennedy regarding this the Jackie Kennedy interview, and I found out that Jackie Kennedy liked to be called Jacqueline, that's it, Jacqueline, not Jacqueline, Jacqueline. And what this told me is how Jackie and Jack Kennedy were ultimate branders. And they knew who they were, and they kept promoting the heck out of themselves. Like, Jack Kennedy, for example, was very, very worried about his image. And in this interview, even mentioned to Jackie that her dresses were too short. And she said, no, they're not. And he kind of backed off. I mean, you know, talk about two grand brands. I mean, it seemed that they had this great relationship, you know, despite what people said. That could be television stuff, but I like to kind of believe it. I mean, I just really liked it. And Jack Kennedy not wanting to hold hands in public with his wife. Today, that might have been encouraged, but back then, it wasn't. And the real kicker, or the real stumper, was that Jackie Kennedy was committed. She felt that the White House was in such disarray and so, just aged or old after the Eisenhowers had been in the White House, that she wanted to do a makeover for the White House. And Jack Kennedy said, with the ultimate policy, you can't do that. It's sacred ground. You can't change it. The American people won't let you do it. And she did it. And they loved it. And she, the importance here is that she knew her brand and she knew how to do it. And she got people, her friends, her wealthy women friends, who would go and donate. And before you know it, she did an interview before anyone had anything to say about it. She got the American public involved by having an interview that I believe was on all three networks at the time, which showed what she did. And let me tell you, what she did was absolutely night and day. I'm telling you, I'm not a professional interior design person by no stretch. But I do pick up an Architectural Digest once or twice a year, and let me tell you, she really knows. She really did some great things, and she knew what she was doing, or at least hired those people that knew what she was doing. So and the other thing that I have to thank Jackie Kennedy for is what she saved Grand Central Station, and when the geniuses wanted to knock it down. She stood firm, and she didn't have it knocked down. And every time I'm in Grand Central Station and I look at that ceiling that is the representation of the sky at night and all the constellations therein, I just say thank you, Jacqueline Kennedy. And it was a great interview, and I recommend you try to catch it. It's really, really great. So anyway... that is that. But what I like to do now is introduce my Did You Know That? And folks, now it's time for the perennial crowd favorite Did You Know That? And Did You Know That? Is where little known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? I guarantee you have traveled at a very high speed in one of the most sterling examples of brand evolution in all of history. And folks, I bet you never even gave it a second thought. Let's journey back to the final days of the horse-drawn carriage. That's when two young brothers from a family of carriage builders saw the writing on the wall. Automobiles had arrived. The family business faced ruin. Without a horse to power their carriage, many simply shuttered their doors. But the brothers got to work. They took their experience and skills as carriage builders and applied it to cars. They invented breakthrough tools and revolutionized traditional carriage designs that could withstand the extreme stresses of motoring. In less than 5 years, they went from almost zero to producing 100,000 cars annually. The brothers were named Fisher, and the company they had started in a storefront shop became the cornerstone of General Motors. As late as 1984, their logo was stamped on the door of every GM car. An elegant carriage from a bygone era. The only thing it was missing was a horse. And now you can say, yes, I know that. And now a word from our sponsor, the Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership. I've known James Metzger, the Whitmore Group CEO, for years. I'm a client and a friend, and I have seen how he fights for his clients and strives to meet their genuine insurance needs. Folks, it's bad to pay for insurance you don't need, but it's worse to think you're protected and then find out you're not. You want the right kind of professionals having your back. The Whitmore Group has your back. It's where a relationship is a partnership. Their number, 516-746-4141, 516-746-4141, or visit them on the web at whitmoregroup.com and tell them Dr. Tantillo sent you.
We are back. You're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX AM Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo. I'm your host, and we'd love to hear from you at 914-636-0110. That's our number. No question is too big or too small. 914-636-0110. Maybe it's Did You Know That? Maybe it's Tony Bennett and the Tony Bennett brand. Maybe it's Frank Sinatra. Maybe it's your brand. Maybe you need a brand over. Maybe you've run into the same sort of situation that our friend Tony Bennett and many personalities of personality brands deal with. Well, give us a call. We'd love to talk through it. It's my psychology background along with my marketing background. I promise we'll give you great counsel. And that's 914-636-0110. Now, folks, you have not, this is not a dream segment. Yes, you did hear the Fisher, Did You Know That before. And the reason I repeated it was because I thought that the moral of that story, along with the moral to the Tony Bennett story, is that it addresses one's brand. And that is, what is your brand? And the great thing about the Fisher brothers is that they discovered that their brand was that of a craft. They were craftsmen. They weren't buggy cab makers. They were craftsmen who made cabs. Whether or not those cabs were for horses or for automobiles, they were craftsmen. And our friend Tony Bennett knew that he was a singer. And he knew he was a quality singer. And he knew music that was part of the fabric of American culture. And he didn't try to do it. Well, even Sinatra did. There was a period where Sinatra, and you can get the, I don't know the name of the album, where he did the contemporary songs, hip songs or pop songs of the time, where he even sang Both Sides Now, which is very, very popular in the I believe early 70s. So what we can learn from the Fishers is that there's this idea of knowing what your brand is. And in fact, what I would say, promoting that and actually getting people to respond to it. The other thing that was very, very exciting in terms of what the Fisher brothers did, and somewhat like what Tony Bennett did, was the emphasis on a different target market. So that if you think about it, who were buying automobiles at the time? They were more hip, they were more wealthy individuals, and I would probably say they were younger, that they were more accepting of the new technology of the automobiles. And that's exactly what Tony Bennett did. He went after a younger market, and by going after the younger market, he in fact rebranded himself in a way, but not really. What he did is he rebranded himself by appealing to a different market, by not changing the core characteristics of his brand. And for that, you got to admire him. And that's what maybe we have to do. And as I like to tell my friends, young as well as old, the secret of branding is to be open to learning, so that what you can do is become not only the brand that you want to become, but the brand that is going to be needed by a particular target market. And it might not necessarily even be the present target market that you have, because maybe the present target market that you're in has moved on and no longer want your products. But there might be a way of going after a different one. And that's what Tony Bennett tells us and shows us and everything like that. So anyway, how do you feel about the Fisher Brothers and about buggy cabs and about my friend Tony Bennett? He's not really my friend. I wish he was my friend. He's just such a great talent. Why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, or doc@brandtalkradio.com, doc@brandtalkradio.com. I have to tell you, I've been watching a lot of interviews yesterday. I'm a big lover of radio and television, and when I'm not listening to the radio, I have my TVs going. So I got my apartment in Forest Hills is a media mecca. And anyway, I saw, and I really urge you, okay, I really recommend you folks, guys and gals, to catch on HBO the Mel Brooks Dick Cavett interview. I'm telling you, these are two favorite brands. I mean, as a college student, I would never listen to Johnny Carson, because Johnny Carson was what my parents listened to. We, as college students at the time, listened to Dick Cavett. You know, he was from Yale. He was very bright. He had that dry sense of humor. He was very, you know, he's very witty. I mean, one of these days, I will meet Dick Cavett and do what I'm not supposed to do and gush all over him. I probably won't gush all over him. I'll just say, you're a great brand, and you're a brand that I've admired for many, many years, because he's such a great conversationalist. And you put on the other end somebody, I just think of him and he makes me laugh, and it's Mel Brooks. And I just love Mel Brooks. And one of the highlights of my life is that I was in the Hamptons one day, and I was having lunch, and who's there but Mel Brooks and his friends, and they're having lunch. Now, you have to understand that I never go up to a celebrity, no matter how much I admire them. This is part of the JT brand. I never go up to a celebrity and ask for an autograph. That's terrible. I never do that. But what I do is I ask the waiter, could you do me a favor and go to Mr. Brooks's table and let him know that I will order he and his friends a round of drinks. So I'm saying this is going to be my opportunity. You know, I'm going to meet Mel Brooks. So anyway, the waiter goes over to the table. Mel Brooks stands up and says to me, "Thank you. We're Jews. We don't drink in the afternoon, but thank you." Well, that was the end of it. I couldn't stop laughing. He made my day, and I mean, I love the man. I just, you know, he's just such a talent. But anyway, so you have these two icons, two great conversationalists. And what's good for my young friends that are listening is that you can learn something from these personalities that they talked about, and that go from Chico, Marx to Tallulah Bankhead. And you're saying now, what do I need to know about these characters? Because these characters that I'm mentioning and that were mentioned in this interview could also help your brand, because they were witty, they were great conversationalists, and they're very fun. They're really fun. Grace Kelly was mentioned, and it was just one great show. And I'm not going to ruin the interview, but what I will do is talk about this the Mel Brooks story, about somebody that's not well known, but to give you an idea of his sense of humor and why I just admire this guy as well. And I'll also tell you a Dick Cavett joke as well, which you'll see what I mean concerning these two brands. So anyway, he mentioned that one of his Brooks had mentioned that he had a colleague and friend who gave him a lead on a director spot, Blazing Saddles. It wasn't called Blazing Saddles, it was another title. But this fellow, his name is, Bigelman. And this guy Bigelman said, "Well, you should go and interview for this. They're looking for a director. You can get $100,000 to do the picture." And that's doubled for what Mel Brooks was getting. Mel Brooks was excited. But he said, "You know, I only do my own work." And, you know, Bigelman just looked at him and he says, "I'll do it." So he goes, he gets the picture, he gets the deal. He orders this guy, Bigelman, $10,000 as a fee. What do they call it? Agent's fee. And Bigelman, as the gentleman that he was, didn't take the money. He said, no. So anyway, he said, so he went to Bigelman's new office because he had gotten this new job at one of the major studios. And he goes into the office, Mel Brooks, you know, and you know how he goes. He's really, really adamant. And he goes into the office, and I go into the office, and the ceiling is like reddish, has reddish lighting. The couch is red. The desk is red. The carpet in front of his desk is red. The chair that Bigelman sits in is red. So Mel Brooks says to Bigelman, "Hey, what is this with all this red? What's going on?" And Bigelman's response is, he said, "Well, Mel, I gave the designer carte rouge." Okay, but that's the kind of shenanigans that was done. And anyway, like I said, if you like to hear about Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, and Alfred, the Alfred Hitchcock story is great. Catch it on HBO. and the Jack Benny story, they're just wonderful. And the joke that I like to talk about in terms of Dick Cavett is that this was done a few years ago, and the story of the time was the acquittal of O.J. Simpson. So the Cavett's doing this interview, and he said, well, you heard the joke about the good news and bad news, and the interviewer says, no. He said, well, the good news is that they found Adolf Hitler in South America. He said, really? And what's the bad news? He's being tried in Los Angeles. And that gives you the kind of mindset of Dick Cavett and why I kind of really admire that him. And in our last few moments, I would also like to talk about something that I have found, and I don't know if I'm embarrassed to say it, but you know, I was watching once again, I was watching one of these interview shows, and who comes in but this musical group, and they're four young guys, and you know, they're on Nickelodeon, and they have this great appeal. And I tuned them in, and we're going to talk about that next week if you don't know who I'm talking about. And anyway, that's our show, folks. Listen to Brand Talk every Wednesday from 3 to 4 on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial.
America's soapbox by day and the music of your life by night. This is the local station with a